It's lovely to be with you this morning, and I have to say I do enjoy coming here. There's always a warm welcome, and you just feel that the Lord blesses this place, and that's a joy to have. I want to leave with you a message this morning on growth, on spiritual growth. My mind went back when I started to think about this, and I thought about my physical growth. And if it wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't be here. Because May 29th, 1943, I was born in Carmarthen. Dad was a pastor in Cardiff. And I was shipped out to my mother's family home in Carmarthen to be born because of the bombing that was going on in Cardiff, and just to be safe. And anybody Welsh here? Are you? I was a Pilkinbach. Oh. Pilkinbach. I was 2 pounds when I was born, 1943. They must have been a bit desperate then to have this little sprig come and think that perhaps he's not going to live. But obviously I've defied science. But if it wasn't for my mother, and this is when, in retrospect, on Mother's Day, you tend to hone in on the things that she did and the things that they did, and you just have to thank God for them. Because she fed me with the right stuff to keep me going, to make me grow. And physical growth is something that we all have to contend with and get the right balance in what we eat and drink and so on and so forth. So from that day till 1943, till when I left home, I just have to give thanks for my mum. Dad? Yeah, I suppose he was around. But he was more interested, perhaps, in the spiritual growth in my life. And I have a lot to thank him for in that respect. If it was left to him to feed me, I think I'd have been on beans on toast regularly. But just getting the balance right. And that physical growth is necessary, but the spiritual growth is essential. And I'd just like to turn to three verses in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Do we have it up? And thanks for the daffodils. You know, it's a Welshman coming. It's great. Here we're just going to have the first three verses here. If you can hold that up there, that'll be fine. Because I'll be referring to it as we go through this morning. The first chapter of Ruth shows how Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, is coming back to Bethlehem in Judah, and through the story we're reminded that believers who fail God can still come back to him. What an introduction to a story. Ruth, however, is the picture of an unbeliever coming to God. Here is Ruth's start. Beginning her new life in a new land, she's left her old life in Moab, and now she's in Bethlehem. A new life has started for her. She's just been saved from her own life in getting a start with a new. And in these days, in these first few days of Ruth's new life in a new land, we have illustrated for us a great picture of spiritual growth. The whole of this second chapter unfolds the divine process of spiritual growth and enlightenment. Physically, when we were born, and I'm sure we all know this, we were babies that entered into a life which there was a process of growth. The same is true spiritually. When we're born again, we're spiritual babies into which a process of spiritual growth begins. A new baby must learn to walk and talk etc. A new Christian enters into a world in which everything is new. And spiritual growth is learning to talk and walk in a new life. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says this, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And he also had in mind spiritual growth in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, perseverance and perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. That's growth. And also, in 1 John chapter 2, 13, we see John giving out one of the best descriptions of spiritual growth within the scripture. Listen to this. I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. Here John describes little children, young men, and fathers. And each of these describes a level of spiritual growth and maturity. We are little children who grow into young men and ultimately fathers. I was on the net the other day, not that I spent a lot of time on the net, but it was speaking of the Americans, and it estimated that 60% of the people in the States profess to going to church. And going deeper into the survey, that out of 1,000 people, 60% of them, 40% of them were spiritually dead. And the 6,000 left, 200 would experience spiritual growth in their life. That reminded me of a little story of a girl who fell out of bed one night. Her mother heard her cry. Mummy, mummy, I fell out of bed. She cried. Her mum picked her up and held her close to herself and asked her, oh, why did you fall out of bed? The little girl replied, I was sleeping too close to where I got in. Do you see how relevant this is for you and me? Many believers are living too close to where they got in when they were saved. And there doesn't seem to be a great deal of growth and move within the Christian life. They need to grow. So let's look at these few verses together and see how it pictures spiritual growth with Ruth's new life in a new land. First of all, we see the purpose of spiritual growth. Verse 1 says this, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from Elimelech, a man of standing, whose name was Boaz. Now this is the first introduction of Boaz in the book. And here Boaz to me is a picture of the Lord. And we'll see that as the morning progresses. In the story of Ruth, she becomes acquainted with Boaz, and we see how the relationship develops and deepens. He is introduced, and we see that Ruth is drawn into an intimate relationship with him. Contrary to what some would say, the purpose of spiritual growth is not to make us Bible scholars. Some have the idea that spiritual growth is a good and growing knowledge of the Bible. That may be part of the process. But if all your Bible study does is make you a theologian, you've missed the whole purpose of the Bible. Because the purpose of the Bible is to reveal Christ. The person of Christ vitalizes and energizes on every page of the Scriptures. Jesus is prophesied in the Old Testament, and he's presented in the New. The Old Testament anticipates Christ. The New Testament authenticates him. The Old Testament contains Christ, but the New Testament explains him. Jesus is the fullness, the fascination, the fiber, the fragrance, the focus of the Scriptures. He's found on every page, in every expression, in every symbol, in every prophecy, psalm, proverb. If you read the Bible and miss Jesus, you will most certainly be stunted in your spiritual growth. For some, spiritual growth is getting ready for heaven. Let me remind you that the light of heaven is the face of Jesus. The melody of heaven is the name of Jesus. The harmony of heaven is the praise of Jesus. The theme of heaven is the work of Jesus. The employment of heaven is the service of Jesus. The duration of heaven is eternity with him, and the fullness of heaven is with Jesus himself. Let's be sure. The purpose of spiritual growth is developing a relationship with the Lord. And keeping this in mind, let's get back to the text and see what's said about Boaz. Boaz is called a relative on her husband's side in verse 1. Boaz was related to Naomi through marriage. Jesus is our relative. He was the one in heaven who had a father but no mother. He came to this earth and was born of a mother but had no father. He became one of us and was one for us. By taking on human flesh, he became related to us. But also, we see that this man was a man of resources, as is described in verse 1. He was a man of standing. He was a man of possessions. Do you see how linked to Jesus this is? Jesus, you know, is greater than the greatest, mightier than the mightiest, and wealthier than the wealthiest. I read the other day about the 10 most richest men in the world. Bill Gates, number one. And the article calculated his wealth based on a 40-hour week, equaling $923,076,292.31. I'm sure the 31 cents wasn't a lot to him. And this was translated then into per hour, 2,307,692.31. And then it was translated into per minute, $38,461.54. And then every heartbeat, $5,334.19. Isn't that wonderful? But I've got to tell. I have to tell Mr. Bates that he's a pauper compared to our Lord. But thirdly, Boaz was a man of reputation. We read his name was Boaz, and Boaz meant mighty one. He was a man that was respected. He was a man that was honored. And God gave Jesus a name above every name. And at his name every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord. This was the purpose, the person that Ruth would come to know, to love, and to marry. And from the time that he's introduced, we see Ruth learning of him, falling in love with him, and living for him. And this is the purpose of spiritual growth. Knowing Christ in an intimate and precious way. I don't know how many of you know the Golden Oldies, but there's one prayer perhaps that should be, and that we often sung, and certainly sung in years gone by. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will, discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. But let's move on and dwell on the second aspect of spiritual growth here in this story. And it's the pursuit of spiritual growth. In verse 2 we read, "And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor.' Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' In those days, just like it is in our country, Israel had a welfare system. And if you really want to follow the legal side of things, I refer to Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And all will be revealed. When the owner of the land harvested the wheat, he was to leave the corners. He wasn't to go back and pick up what had been missed or dropped or left. This was left for the poor. It was God's welfare system. It wasn't a handout, but it was something that one had to work for to claim. They had to go into the fields and gather what was left. It was law that helped provide for the poor. And as we see Ruth going into these fields, we see they're in the corner of the fields. We see two things. We see that the food there was there to sustain her. Ruth was concerned about how they were going to eat. They'd returned home penniless, yet they had to eat. If they didn't eat, they'd die. And the same is true spiritually. Involved in spiritual growth is the pursuit of spiritual food. Christians must have a diet of God's word. My dad asked a member of his congregation once how she was getting on in the Christian life. "Oh, very poorly," she replied. "My life is a disgrace to me and the church." Dad asked her if she had read the Bible every day. She answered, "No. I study it occasionally when I have the time." There was a baby in the pram nearby. The minister pointed, my dad pointed to the baby and said, "Suppose you should treat that baby 2 hours today, and then perhaps give it 6 hours tomorrow, and then let it go for a day or two, and then go back to it, and and feed it the next day. If you kept that process going, do you think the child would grow? Of course, the answer came no. I think the child would die under that treatment, she said. Dad ended the conversation by telling her that was the way she was treating her soul. Did you know that a bird can go without food for 9 days, a man 12, a dog 20, a turtle 500, a snake 800, a fish 1,000, insects 1,200? Lovely statistics, aren't they? A believer cannot go one day without feeding on God's word in order to grow spiritually. And then the other corner, the field was near to supply her. Ruth had a desire to go to one of the nearby fields and glean corn. She knew of God's welfare system, and she asked Naomi if she could go and glean some corn. I just wonder what kind of fields there are there. You know, there's the field of God's word to bring spiritual food. Someone once said that the scripture, the Bible, is the loaf. Every chapter a slice, and every verse a bite. But then there's the corner of the will of God to find spiritual food. God, remember, told Elijah to go to the river Brook Cherith, and it was there he'd find food, and he was being fed. Being in the will of God is like finding manna on the ground each day as God leads us on. And then there's another corner, the work of God. As we work in his field, we'll find barley to glean and wheat to harvest. And then there's the corner of worship for God. And that's why we're here this morning. The psalmist said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And as we worship him, we gain spiritual food. Ruth wanted this food, and she worked for it. Spiritual growth just doesn't happen. We must want to grow, and we must work to grow. But finally, we also see that there's a process in spiritual growth. So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was there from the clan of Elimelech. You know, this is one of the most exciting verses in the scriptures. It's the happiest of happenings. She went looking for a field in which someone would favor her and allow her to glean, and she ended up in Boaz's field. As we see her coming to the field of Boaz, we're reminded of two things: the divine guidance of life. From a human standpoint, she looked as if she had run out of luck, and by chance ended up in a field owned by Boaz. Ruth had no idea that the field belonged to Boaz. She just happened to choose that field. It happened just by chance. Of course it didn't. From a heavenly viewpoint, it was providence. Behind the scenes was God, who was in charge of her life, and he was trying to see that all things worked together for good, for her good, and for his glory. I think there are many times that when many get to heaven, they'll be surprised and realize that a lot of things happened to them were not bricks, but they were blessings. But Ruth comes to this field of Boaz, and we're also reminded that there's a divine goal of life. What was God doing? He was arranging things that so that Ruth and Boaz would come together and fall in love. God was behind the scenes. And he is behind the scenes of life, arranging all things with the goal in mind of bringing us into a deeper relationship with him. The whole process of spiritual growth is a work of God in our lives and arranging certain things to bring us closer to the Lord. Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him. We see Ruth getting in, getting on with a new start in life. A new life in a new land. And it's great, isn't it? For those of us who belong to Christ, continue feeding on his word, so that we continue to grow in him and closer to him. And what a joy that is. But I have to say, if there are any here this morning who are outside of this Lord that we love, make a start like Ruth. Begin by drinking the milk of his word. Grow and come to love a Saviour who loved you. What a fresh start. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. And we just pray now that as we examine our own hearts, we perhaps need to see that we need to grow closer to you. And we pray that we can grow closer to you through your word. Open your word to us, Lord, we pray. And draw us close to yourself, so that we can find that deep, deep love of Jesus in our hearts. Amen.